Kei Ito descended from a bomb.
My grandfather was in Hiroshima when the bomb exploded, and most of his family died either at ground zero or radiation poisoning afterwards.
His grandfather was a witness to one of the most destructive moments in human history. Hiroshima.
He fled to Tokyo. Later, he became a quite profound anti-nuclear activist. He gave talk in states, UN. He was invited to go all over the place. But he, too, passed away when I was 9 years old.
Ito was born in Japan, but now he lives in Maryland and teaches in New York City at the International Center of Photography. His work is currently on display at the Eskenazi Museum of Art. His work grapples with intergenerational trauma and ongoing threats of nuclear war. But where did it start?
I'm a 90s kid.
Growing up, Ito was surrounded by superheroes.
I mean, like Marvel, or even like in Japan, like Astro Boy.
And he wondered if he was one too.
So many superheroes in my generation gained superpower out of exposed to the radiation. It's kind of interesting because I saw the reality of what radiation did to my grandfather, or, you know, many people who associate with my grandfather. Meanwhile, watching the cartoon or comic book that was given the superpower that can fly around, breathe fire, or glow in dark.
So, he looked inward.
Then I always start thinking about, then, am I a mutant? Like, what superpower did I get? I breathe really hard to see if I have, you know, if I can breathe fire. Nope, I couldn't. Can I fly? No, I couldn't. So, like, and like I concluded with maybe making art is my superpower.
Ito moved from photography to cameraless photography. He describes his approach as abstract. Dealing with Hiroshima, he says, is not so straightforward.
My great uncle, my grandfather's brother, the one of the only remaining family that still alive, that we experienced Hiroshima and still living in Hiroshima. And he never talked about his Hiroshima experience. When the Hiroshima Day happens, he lived big. 20 minutes away from Hiroshima City, where the memorial happens, but he never attended because it brings too much pain for him to even remember it. So he never really talked about his experience, unlike my grandfather. But he did talk to me his like firsthand experience of like what it was like. And in the end, he said like none of the words that he can say can convey or explain like what he witnessed that day. I think that's one of the reasons why I'm so, like, my artwork became so abstracted is because it's impossibility of trying to visualize this experience.
Sungazing Scroll 2022 is currently on display at the Eskenazi Museum of Art.
Sure.
Sungazing
Scroll. I make this scroll every year. Once a year. So every year, the look is completely different. It spans usually from 80 feet to as long as 180 feet.
This long scroll descending from the ceiling was made with light, photosensitive material,
so it's really
and
simple
Ito's
process.
Own breath.
I essentially created camera obscura. Essentially, I darkened my studio space, only letting a little bit of light from the window, the actual direct sunlight. And in front of this small aperture, I pulled the paper in front of this aperture to have the paper exposed to the sunlight. And what I did was I pulled the paper whenever I inhale my breath. So like when you see the scroll, there's a thin line of like a black line in the middle.
It's a trail of pupil-like spots linked together by a single tail.
Of the black circle. There I posed, so it was getting more exposure, thus I was exhaling my breath. So
red, orange, and yellow fill the paper, and the circles are pure black.
Of my breath. I did it 408 times.
Cameraless photography is essentially disassembling photography. It's about exposing light to photosensitive materials, leaving shadows and images, which make up the art. But it's more than materials. It's about intention. For example, Ito breathed 108 times into Sun Gazing Scroll 2022.
Which connect to Japanese Buddhism as well as it's a Japanese culture, you know, culture itself that in New Year's Eve to New Year's Day, many of the temple in Japan, like there's so many of them, strike this human-sized bell 108 times. And by hearing each bell toll, you get rid of one of the evil desire. And, you know, after hearing 108, you face the new year essentially cleansed. And but I kind of use this number as the, my childhood memory, but also the idea of the redemption.
He describes it as a performance. We talked about it back in the studio.
So, like, I even consider the artwork itself is a performance that actually happens in either dark room or my studio. And even though people don't see the performance itself, they see the artifact. They see the result of my act in the studio or dark room in the galley space.
Ito's work is also big. His installations take up entire rooms, floor to ceiling, whether it's prints of human figures or an entire wall covered in eyes.
I started making room-size artwork. Now I'm making like the work that takes upon like entire war memorial or like entire like majority of a section of the museum or even the public space, you know, like, and I think what I'm trying to achieve with my narrative is so monumental. And it's kind of funny, I start calling my artwork is a temporal monument or memorial, temporal memorial or temporal monument, depending on what, which work is it. Because, you know, it only exists duration of the exhibit, but I think it kind of act as like a memorial, which is a reminder of the past for the people. But it also is a location that people can connect the past to the present themselves and think about the future.
A lot of his work explores the impact of Hiroshima, but Ito stresses it's not just about the past. The nuclear threat is still very real today. And that's something Ito was trying to show.
There's a thing called Doomsday Clock that DC published every year.
It's something that was developed by the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists. The clock counts down to midnight, and as of January 2023, we are 90 seconds to midnight.
It's not just a nuclear weapon, but nuclear weapon has a lot of influence of this time.
What's midnight, you ask?
And midnight being the nuclear annihilation of the humankind, we are, I believe it's 90 seconds away from midnight, and that is the closest we've ever been for a really long time. But we don't talk about it.
Essentially, the clock shows us how close humanity is to annihilating itself with its own technology. It's not just nuclear weapons either. The bulletin considers other threats, especially climate change and biotechnology, when setting the time. In 2023, it moved closer to midnight, from 100 seconds to 90. The move, according to the bulletin's website, was, quote, largely, though not exclusively, because of the dangers of the war in Ukraine.
Now, between Ukraine and Russia, like this nuclear war is very much possible.
Ito's work starts in Hiroshima, but it doesn't end there. His art is also about the nuclear threat today, and it's something he's working to bring more attention to.
People forget, history repeats, and it's the job of, like, myself, artist, to keep remind people, hey, this happened before, let's not repeat it again, and not trying to create another nuclear weapon victims or any kind.
Ito's work will be on display at the Eskenazi Museum of Art until July 9th, as a part of the Direct Contact Cameraless Photography Now show. For WFIU Arts, I'm Avraham Forrest.